You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Before. Her name is Doxy. Doxy?
Hi!
Hey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
And Lisa's here. She apparently is looking at me inquisitively.
I'm just like, this is the first time we're going to talk about something that's uncomfortable?
No, not really.
really?
Like, we needed that disclaimer?
Every time I've been here, we've talked about something that was inappropriate, at least.
But we're also in a very new studio. So Podcast Detroit has opened up a new studio in Detroit on Peterborough. And this is the...
Detroit Shipping Company.
Thank you.
Yes, where there's also a food hall and such and coffee and all kinds of entertainment and a parking lot, which is exciting. Which I have a box of clothes for.
Very excited. On a Friday night, I can imagine it's going to be incredibly engaged. I've yet been to the space. I didn't come to the opening. I'm bad. But look at the lighting. Look at the
The windows in here are exciting because in the Royal Oak studio, we're in a enclosed room.
Yeah, this is
here.
Quite
you
nice.
Like to see out and see. You can see Motor City Casino and. Yeah, I bet it is crazy fun down here. I've hardly ever come down here. I actually, before this, was down meeting a friend of ours who I suggested should join the podcast to talk about financing for small businesses.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great idea.
And he said he would love to.
Yay.
Anyway, so I was down
but
having...
But we have to be on our best behavior with him because he's a very, very much a gentleman.
I'm sorry. I just had coffee with Derek. Not that he was not a gentleman. No, nothing inappropriate happened. Nothing inappropriate happened. He's a very, very lovely person. But so we had breakfast in Corktown, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't think I've been to Corktown in 10 years. So it's been forever. So we went to Folk. I had a gluten-free waffle, which was amazing and tasted like not any different than a regular waffle.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they have they have gluten-free waffles and then gluten-free bougie waffles if you want to bouge it up.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I just want the plain, not bougie waffle.
I'll go bougie.
I don't want anything
you
want.
Bougie.
But coolest thing about them, they add a gratuity because they want to have a fair wage. So they already in the bill.
I love those
is
places.
A gratuity. And then you can. But they're just like, dude, we want to pay our people, so we're going to pay our people, and you're going to subsidize it by just an automatic 18%.
That's becoming
in
a thing
tip.
In Detroit.
That's
Roses
awesome.
On Jefferson does that. And
so,
what they do is they take the donations that you give for extra tips and donate them to charities in the city.
That's fantastic. Yep. And so I did not realize that that's where the bearded lady is, who I follow on Facebook, but I've never actually been to her shop. She's a hair.
Yay. Yep,
hair
yep.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
A hair person.
Hair stylist. That's what it's called. And so Folk is where we went. And then Mama Coos is right next door. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's where Mama Coos is.
Yeah.
I have not been down here in
our
so
manager,
long.
Our manager, Lauren, talks about Mama Coos all the time.
We got to go to Mama Coos.
Speaking about our manager, we're going to connect that to Busted Bra Shop. And we're going to talk about the Bra of the Week.
Bra of the Week.
Bra of the Week.
Wait, you want to talk about why we're dressing her the way she's dressed?
Because it's October.
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
Yeah. One, October.
Tonight, today, dad gum. Today, we're going to talk about death. And not the band. I mean, we could. The band is great, but we're going to talk about what happens after death. Not like spiritually either, like your carcass, right?
Like the body part.
We could
part.
Talk about that.
We could talk about
We could talk about spirituality if you want.
What we can talk about, yeah.
Okay, so death is
wide
a,
open,
is a topic.
Except the band, because I don't have no idea what they do.
I will.
I don't want
you.
To. I know it's one of your metal bands, isn't it?
You know, death.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah,
they're from Detroit.
They're from Detroit.
Are they a metal band?
They're a metal band from
them.
Like the 70s.
Like from, from when we were like tots.
First African American.
So you guys could talk. They're African American metal
band? Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's interesting. But so,
and they're amazing. In
you guys
person.
Could talk about them, but I would just have a lot of questions.
I saw them at Orion and I'd seen them before and I don't remember where, but I was just
Orion on Belle Isle.
Yeah.
You were there too?
Oh my God!
Oh my God.
It was amazing.
I got to say, the Venn diagram of African Americans and metal bands has got to be like.
It's bigger than you think.
Yeah,
it's bigger than
it,
you
yeah.
think. Yeah. Really? All right, let's talk about that bra. And I'm going to get her.
Well, why don't we just. Can Doxy just turn her toward the camera? And
you can. Okay.
What's her name?
Her name is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Betty, the camera's over there. I don't know if we can see her or not. Yeah. Okay. Yep, okay. Ellen says good.
We hear.
All right.
All right. So what she has on is a really cool negligee from Azure. It's got kind of a retro vibe to it. It's beautiful on its own. We have pictures of models on the website at Busted in Detroit, or actually it's on Facebook, Busted in Detroit.
Oh, look at the back of that.
Isn't that beautiful? The workmanship on that baby is really, really cool. They're like doing
beautiful
something
lace
underneath
panel.
Us.
I think they're constructing.
I dig it. I know. It's kind of like a dryer.
Okay.
So go ahead and take that little negligee off and let's expose our panache Quinn.
Hi, Betty. Right.
So Betty is in a panache Quinn set and Doxy's putting on the negligee. So this one has a stretch lace upper cup. So Doxy, just pull that lace. You see how it's flexible? It's going to take away that quad boob. You've got nice straps. Nice thick elasticy straps. They've got good support on them. The band is a little bit wider going around, so you're going to get more support kind of underneath the arms and in that little wing area that we don't talk about. But it's a beautifully constructed bra as well as being beautiful. It's just got the details on it are phenomenal.
Wait, and there's a little bit of like a keyhole at the gore?
Yep, at the gore. The gore is right
in between
the
middle
breasts.
There? Yep.
Yeah, right there.
Only because she said keyhole.
And because I know there's a skeleton key in there. Throw that back to October. And the other thing I don't know if shows up on the camera because it's really light is that it's not a white bra. It's a like beigey off-white.
It's got an off-white like supporting cup on the inside. And then it's got four-part construction to it. So you've got that nice sling. Yeah. That's the four-part construction. So I bring panache because we're having a panache fit event that I put the information up on Bras, Bitches, and Balls Facebook page. And so the link is there. If you want to come in to see some of the bra fit specialists who come from other parts of the country to come down and really specialize in their bras, please come down. You can ask questions. We brought the matching panties. We have matching sets, you guys, and the matching sets – typically, depending on the bra makers, go up to 4X. And then we have other panties that we can match to it that actually do go up to 10X. So we can get, and
so
we have
not
a matching set
part
for
of the
10X.
Set, but they'll look matchy.
Well, we can match, but we also have sets that are up to 10X too. So,
I just got
to
say,
and they're pretty.
Like, that's a goal. But then I get home, and what happens is I grab a pair of underwear and a bra. And put them on.
And you got great bras because I've sold them to you. I know
I
what
do.
You wear.
I do. But like I don't – matching sets never actually happened
well,
for
I
me.
Typically wear a different color on top than I do on bottom. Yeah. So if I do buy a matching set, I'll go for like the black bra and then I'll get the matching beigey
or lavender or something.
Some another color that goes with it so that I know it matches. But then I don't go into total convention because screw that. I do it what I want to do. Right? Okay. So –
I totally figured you'd be the kind of person where your socks, your underwear, and your bra match.
I'm kidding.
I do know people like this.
I do too.
But I also want to let
my
you
socks
know
match.
We are talking about death today.
Death.
See, she doesn't want to say it. She's like, pause.
Death. I'm like, it's like a southern woman.
It's a fear-inducing topic, and there's so much anxiety around that, just the idea of it.
So can we go back before we talk about death, though? Yeah. Panache Fit Event, that's going to be in Detroit?
It's going to be in Detroit.
And in Detroit where?
It's going to be at the
– we know where, the Park Shelton.
Park Shelton. Right? Well, not for much longer. Okay, so yeah, it's at the Park Shelton. And I put it up on the page. It's going to be October 11th. There's a fit specialist from Panache. I mean, yeah, from Panache Lingerie coming. And that's going to be fantastic. So when is the 11th, you ask? It is a Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday of next week.
Oh, I may be downtown for that because I have to meet our friend, Siobhan.
Oh, sweet. So also, that's going to be really, really cool.
Do you want to mention, since we now have a signed document?
Yeah. We can mention
that we are expanding in Detroit.
Yes. Brrr.
growing.
We are growing in Detroit.
We're going to be a bigger cup size.
And we're going to be opening on Jefferson Chalmers at the end of October.
Go Jeff Chalmers area.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Way to bring it far east side.
Thanks. And it's and people go, but where? I'm like, at the corner of a Jefferson and Chalmers.
Literally. Yes.
Literally Jefferson and Chalmers. Yeah. Chalmers Square, I believe, is the development.
It's going to be very close to Norma G's.
Yeah. Across the street from, what were the ladies that we went to visit? Was that R&R?
Really? I've got no brain power. Yeah, R&R. It was R&R because we reminded us of the old logo.
Yeah. Well, there was that, I think that was the place that was not open. And then there were the ladies next door who have a cute
their
little
sisters.
Shop.
Yeah.
The, yeah, the sisters.
Very, very nice. All right. So that's going to be awesome.
Wait a minute.
So keep watching.
Yay.
Keep watching that stuff. Watch our Facebook pages for that information because I think it's
yes, because
awesome.
We'll have a grand opening once we have the racking up an inventory in.
Well, we have a big event on October 20th. Whether,
what's that?
We're going to come
what'd
in.
You say, Doxy?
She's going to come in for a fitting.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have a party. Doxy, we're going to have a party on the day you come in for a fitting,
just
which will be October 20th,
me
right?
In a hilarious. I just wear sports things that
we,
you know,
well,
make them all
probably
go.
Find
we
it
could,
very
we could do a fashion show as part of that. Doreen and Doxy. All D people?
We're working on all kinds of things. Let's keep moving. Oh, you know what I did?
Tell us.
What'd you do?
What I do last weekend. I already put a picture up on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. Once bitten.
Twice shy, baby. I went and met Great White. I mean, I saw them. I met them. And it was awesome. So
you know. So you're
14-year-old coming out right now?
18.
Okay.
Right. My 14. You know,
yeah.
You know what I did? You know what I did on Saturday? I know. You know what I did?
What?
I took my bestie and we went to the DIA.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Oh, you went to the costume show.
She did.
Boom. How was it?
And Lee had gone a couple weeks ago. So it was, she was like, she wants a
photo. Oh, hi, yes.
You really were hanging.
She leaves me every time. I don't matter.
It was amazing. So I like to sew, but I never do. And I love costumes, which I'm not.
Costume.
I'm not
lovely.
A good enough seamstress to do.
She really is. She just doesn't think she is.
She's
self-deprecating. Amazing.
Yeah.
And no. Seriously, like the amount of work in these costumes, it's amazing. The best part about it for me is a costume, like seamstress kind of person, was the books.
Yeah.
So they had pictures of the costume books with the drawings and then the various swatches of fabric and how they looked when they're dyed differently and with embroidery on them.
Did you listen to the people taking you through? Did you do the audio tour? Mm-hmm. Which one did you listen to?
I started with the kids one and then I realized it was for kids. The adult one. Young Jedi. I'm like,
wait a minute.
I did both because Lively was just like, this is great. I'm like, I'm listening to the kids one. He's like, I'm listening to the adult one. I was like,
And so, so Chewy the yak hair was pretty funny. Like the amount of, well, I can't remember how many.
I don't remember.
Jill would remember because she was like listening to it and she's like, 50 pounds of yak hair. I'm like, what is she talking about? It was the Chewbacca costume.
Nice.
But did you see the original, or who inspired Chewbacca?
His dog.
Yeah. Who looks like mine.
Yeah.
Like just
so,
like Thor.
I have photos and photos of all of Amidala's clothes. I mean, her costumery was just amazing.
Ridiculous. And the makeup was fantastic. It's like that should have been in like 8 movies instead of in that.
But the, they also had, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO and the
gold bikini,
the Tusken Raiders.
I know a guy who makes those.
I like the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
They
had like Ray's, Finn's jacket and Ray's outfit.
I liked Ray's outfit.
Yeah. It was all just amazing. And it's one of those things where like when you see a painting, you're like, that's art. Right. And then when you see clothing, like people don't really respect the amount of.
We need to change that.
Artistry that goes into something.
The amount of
some people
time
do.
And of, and then it's changing. The craftsmanship is becoming a thing again. It wasn't for a while. There was something that the arts made fun of, like, oh, you're just doing crafts, honey.
Well, because it's women's stuff.
Yeah, and then we've elevated it to a point where it's now acceptable and it's highly regarded, and you're getting good prices for it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The other thing I want to do is I think I shouted out this person before, and I had you follow her because of Brooch Warfare, but Samurai Knitter.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow Samurai Knitter. She just did this thing of, I think it was Karl Lagerfeld's collection. Most of it's hideous. It's like overly huge upholstery style, which I appreciate upholstery style fabric, but overly huge jackets. Everything is on a beach and everybody's wearing gloves. It's very weird. So she just gonna post the pictures and like make snarky comments. But she also,
so wait, I'll just follow her because she's snarky.
Yes. Follow her because she's snarky. Stay for the hilarity of the pictures. But like she had done a thing on how women dress and wear things like brooches and jewelry as statements.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So that you're talking through it.
Like
so,
Madeleine Albright and the Queen. They wear particular brooches for particular reasons when they meet particular people.
It's kind of funny. You should look it up.
That's super cool. It's like it's a secret language. I like this.
It's the language of
jewelry. So next week, I'm going to go ahead and talk about next week because I want to go ahead and get it out there.
Get it out there. So we can talk about death.
Yeah, so we can talk about death. Because death is like, we're not going to
avoid
it.
We're totally
avoiding death. Always, every day.
So next week, I want to talk about, and this is going to come, the winter vagina.
Oh, why do I want to talk about that? I didn't even know that was a thing.
So I have found on Twitter that there is a gynecologist who is there to basically fact check Gwyneth Paltrow. And
which is really easy because she's full of bullshit.
Well, but, you know, so we're going to – I want to look into her. I want to see if there's any chance we can get anybody
winter
from
vagina.
There. And they want to talk about the fact that they're going to dispel the myth of the winter vagina.
Who
did you know there was a myth?
That?
I am so going home and Googling this.
I know.
Okay, give me
her
elevator
jade
speech.
Egg thing, but I did not hear about
well,
this
I mean,
vagina
the jade egg has its benefits. I mean, come on. But, like
– just not the ones that she is proposing.
Yeah, no. I have no idea. I don't follow this woman.
Well, that's – that.
I mean,
we're going to talk about
vagina? Like when you're in the Crohn's.
Oh,
my God. I got to wait
about it now. It's not
so I guess you're coming back.
Can I come back?
This is not a Game of Thrones thing. People are actually talking about how to winterize your vagina.
How to winterize
your vagina. Wait, how to winterize? Is there antifreeze involved?
We're going to talk about it next week. See? So
okay, I'm not supposed
tease.
To swear in case they come in. Right. Anyway,
yeah.
So
there's that, and then
we'll see you next week, Doxy, to talk about the winter
vajayjay.
I love vajayjays.
And I'll end up talking about Great White at some point. But I did. I totally got like obsessed with them. And
talk about them now.
Well, I did. I got obsessed with them. I was like, but wait a minute. They were so good. They were playing to like 75 people. All right.
They have to be so good. It's all they do.
Well, these are not all the original members.
Well, then
and
not,
no, one of them is not all he does. He also tours with some other band that he
Night
was.
Ranger. Do you know how many Grammys were on
wait,
that freaking
was
stage?
Night Ranger Sister Christian?
Yes. But we like the song. And you know, if somebody has better hair than I do and they're a little bit older, I'm like, you have to be good. You should look at that.
Wait,
I can't
you need
stop
a,
watching
You need
them.
A belt made of chains.
Yeah, well, it's they required. Had that too. But they were working so hard and they did such a great job. Everybody was singing and dancing. We're giving them all the love and you could tell they're feeding it back to us. But there's only 75 people in front of them.
Then you know what? I want to give them kudos for that because it doesn't matter how many people show up.
Yeah.
You have this expectation where it should be 5,000 people in order for it to be the success. If 75 show up,
yep.
You still put on the same damn show.
Well, and their singer was new. They've gotten their third singer in, what, 40 years? And Mitch Malloy is their new singer. Now, he had some hits in his own right. He hit the Billboard 100 back in the 80s. As well, and that yeah, look him up. He was so pretty. <She's> like, Mitch Malloy. And so he's a lead singer. He was doing this great job. I'm like, he is so new. How is he? He was just, it's like he'd been with them forever. He was actually offered Van Halen.
Oh, he's got great hair.
Doesn't he have great hair? He's skinny and he can get up all
this
on
is
the
most important thing for hair.
Oh,
bands.
So he's been in Van Halen for, okay, well, less than a year.
But he did, well, but you know, at that point, Van Halen was a hot mess.
1996.
And I would, so he said no.
Oh, he was probably
no.
like a David Lee Roth substitute because of the hair and, the look.
And he said mm-hmm. no. Well, Sammy Hagar, can you say anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah, good call, yeah.
So anyway, he did a great job. He was into the crowd. He's new at it.
Good.
I went and looked him up. I'm like, I want to know more about this human being. And just, you know, he's really done a good job. He's a producer. And look up Great White again. 80s bands were good, damn it. The hair ones. And some of the punk ones.
Not all of them. Just saying.
Not all of them. Cindy Lauper was very good.
I was into that all.
Yeah. So it makes me want to have my big hair back. So, all right, so now to death.
So she sent me a picture before she left, and it looked like a glamour shot.
Well, I'm sure it did.
But then I got rained on.
You should put your glamour shot up.
Well, then it rained on me.
Well, but the glamour skull, shot was before
which
it rained.
Perfect.
And, I mean, and then I had a big fake fur jacket. I looked like a giant white Yeti.
Why did she have a leather jacket on?
People kept petting me because it was cold as hell night.
All right.
Yeah, so
she
yeah.
looked like an albino. She looked like an albino Wookiee, to bring it back to Star Wars.
Yak.
So anyway, and then we'll talk about how all of these guys are dead from the 80s, like Leif Garrett. Well, he was from the 70s, but we talked about Leif Garrett when we were talking.
Leif Garrett's dead? He's probably like my first, like,
Sean he was dead Cassidy. A long time ago.
Hey, man. Social, like, pop culture?
No, like, didn't he die back in...
No,
I way don't back know, in dude. The day, didn't he?
No, he.
Am
got
I making
old.
That up?
Yep,
he yeah, got totally old.
Okay, maybe
up.
Is he still
I think
alive?
He's still kicking, baby.
I thought
no,
he
we're
died.
Going to find out.
Yeah, so now we're fact checking our
son. Bitch.
Oh, look how cute he was!
He was adorable.
He was beautiful.
Am I making it up? Is this like that?
You are probably making
who's that
it up.
Old?
Oh, he's still alive. 1966.
Oh, sorry, Leif.
Oh, he's not nearly as cute as he was. Okay.
But
he was
am
adorable.
I.
I'm not okay. of us are. Yeah, he's still
I'm,
alive.
I'm confusing him with someone else from the 70s who.
That's okay.
He's did not
still
make it
making
out
music. He's still doing vocals and guitar.
Wow.
Go Leif Garrett.
I thought he OD'd. I'm like, wrong guy. Wrong guy.
So
anyway, okay, Leif is not. Oh my God! Okay, that's not the one I was thinking of, though. That's
wow.
Ah,
he's so cute. He's so adorable. Cute. He was a beautiful person.
So anyway,
the beautiful people. Okay. Yeah, so pretty. Stop it. All right, we need to talk about death.
We're okay.
She's actually hosting something called Death and Desserts.
Death and Desserts.
It's based on the concept of death
the Death Cafe.
Cafe.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the Death Cafe?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to start this whole thing with a cute little quote.
Okay.
So life asks death. Why do people love you but hate me? Death replied, because you're a beautiful lie and I'm a painful truth. Unknown quote. Great quote.
Great quote.
So, yeah. So tomorrow, doing a death and desserts at Armageddon Beach Party, which is in the Woodbridge neighborhood at 1517 Putnam. The event's going to go from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it's just a casual conversation so we can just talk positively about death or anything that you need to talk about it in
time
a
out.
Safe zone. Go.
Time out. Armageddon Beach Party. Is that in that new building that's going to have a bar in it and the Japanese place and the
yeah.
and the
high five
cheesecake
well done.
Place?
There's a cheesecake place. There's a coffee place.
My friend's opening that bar.
Oh, shut up. Wait, the Japanese bar?
Is it the cheesecake
no,
factory?
A bar. Oh, bar.
No.
I'm
no,
just kidding. Know. It was an old joke from back in the Cafe Detroit days.
Sorry, didn't know it.
Nobody else does
well,
either.
Well, yeah. Well, let's go there and check it out. Yeah. So this is a couple who've been together for about 10 years, and they are amazing artists. And they're think about it as like modern day psychedelia, and they have a brand. You could tell their style.
Yes, I peeked in because they weren't open, but it's very like dark walls, like very like
art everywhere.
It makes me think of like a Deep Purple, like that kind of like the band Deep Purple, like
the psychedelia. Kinda, yes. Yeah, but you're like yeah. Love except paper. For our generation. Like, they've literally painted the floors to the ceilings, and then they have their artwork everywhere, and they have a line of all the things that they sell. And they also collect great kitsch and sell it. Oh, my gosh, some of the things that they have in there. And this is their first brick and mortar.
Cool.
So
Armageddon Beach Party.
Armageddon Beach Party.
I like it.
Is it yeah,
I
mean, think you. About it. It's kind of like, if you think yeah. about the title, it's super
it's
fun.
Like you got Beach Blanket Bingo, kind of, and at Funicello, and then Armageddon, and you
but
put
it looks
together.
Like something that Matt and Amy would put on at the Lincoln Art Park.
Well, and they yes. have been involved in that environment. They used to sell at Recycle Days on Saturday, and they've done things in the park, and then this
cool.
is their growth.
So they have been open.
They've been open, I think, since June. I think okay. that's when their opening party was. It was a lovely weekend. It might not even been that long ago. And now what they're doing is they kind of have a lounge area. They've created it for the public to come in and engage
chill
the
out.
Space. It's not just a place to like check out their artwork. It's kind of a gallery space and
it's a community.
Community space,
like,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
So they have concerts there. They have poetry slams. They have like, you know, nice little
fun.
Events. Yeah, and I asked
okay.
them if I could do a talk on death.
So you are actually hosting this event.
I am hosting this event.
Cool.
I have some other people coming in just to like help me, you know, stimulate the conversation. And if it's just, you know, a handful of us that show up, again, it's this is where it starts. And starting this in October kind of made sense because, you know, if this happens, you know, we do it, you know, once a week, once a month. Like, I don't know. We're going to see. But I do think this is a conversation that can be continued because I don't think you're going to cover everything in 3
well, there's
hours.
There's so many things to talk about.
So you know,
and what my idea of what you were doing is probably different than what you're actually doing, and then it may evolve into something totally different.
Yeah. So I am going to say, you asked me what Death Cafe is. So back in 2011, the Death Cafe started in the UK, and it was pretty much a guy who just wanted to talk about death, and him and his mom started doing things. Well, there have been over 7,000 death cafes now all over the world. The first one in the U.S. was in 2012 in Ohio, Columbus. Go Columbus. So I'm sure there's been death cafes in Detroit. I know there's been in Windsor. There's been in Warren, Michigan. There's been in Ann Arbor. But you can have the conversations anywhere. So I've kind of been, let's just say, slightly obsessed with death since I was a little kid. I almost died when I was really young.
Really? And
yeah.
Well, we're going to circle back to that. Put a
peg in
that.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done a lot of photography on very morbid things. So it's just an evolution of things that I'm not afraid to talk about. But when I talk about it to other people they kind of freak out. Yeah, or they think you're incredibly morbid and macabre, which, yes, I am that as well. So but the more that we talk about it, the more people are like, oh, wait, we can talk about it. And it's becoming, it's trending more. So I think this is the time to do it. So we're going to
It's interesting because my sister used to go to cemeteries when she was a kid.
And, oh, I love cemeteries. Yeah, and do the etchings.
Grave rubbings.
Yeah. I live next to a cemetery.
Like, you're so weird.
No.
Whatever.
No, it's beautiful.
It's cool.
We used to take little pilgrimages to see where we came from, and we would find, you know, the markers.
So much information in a cemetery about your history.
So my dad would always be like, we're going to go and look at, graves.
I love walking through cemeteries and geocaching. There are lots of them that are
you're
in
a dork
and
geocache too?
Do you
oh my God. Yes. Okay. Can we go?
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
Okay. So I haven't geocached since cell phones. I used to geocache back
with
in the day
with a Garmin?
When it was like, yeah.
Oh, okay. We're going to
table
that. Yeah, okay. So anyway, yeah, so I love walking. There's some really cool headstones. Like, there's some on one in Crooks that is like I'm sure they're everywhere, but there are several on a little tiny cemetery in Troy at Crooks, I think between Big Beaver and Waddles, maybe.
Okay.
And they're like, they look like trees, but they're.
Oh yeah,
some of them are like it's really cool.
Oh, they're not. A lot of them aren't really concrete; they're marble. A lot of them, especially the ones
are
the old
formed,
concrete ones.
Yeah, they're
textured.
Not,
yeah,
yeah.
I grew up next to a cemetery.
Really?
So I've also this is when you're a little kid. That's a little freaky. You know, you don't want to look out your bedroom window because you're like, they could be coming.
Right.
Well, and in college, I knew a lot of guys that would rent houses right on the edges of cemeteries because
cheaper rent.
Cheaper rent.
Yeah, that's so
and
smart.
Of course, we'd all get whacked.
Well, and this is the thing about it too. Your neighbors aren't going to make a lot of noise.
Well, if they do, it'll be on the news.
Going back to the living next to them and partying in them, because I've partied in cemeteries. But when I grew up, when I was a kid, people would party in the cemetery next to our house, and like they would dig up and do disrespectful things. So me and the neighbor kids, my sister and a bunch, like we would actually mow the place. We would like put the dirt back in the hole that they dug.
Take care of it,
and we would totally tend to it. Yeah, and there was actually a family plot that we dug out, and it was just this beautiful space. And her name was Roxanne, and I used to always go and just put my hand on Roxanne's name, and I never did an etching of her, and I should probably go back and do that. But yeah, death is a part of it, and some of us accept it for what it is, and we find peace with it, and a lot of us don't.
So this is kind of an aside to the actually physically walking through cemeteries, but I have a premise of a book that I've wrote 5,000 words on and have not touched since last November. But it started out from a find a grave site. So there's findagrave.com.
Yeah, are you aware? Yeah, for sure.
So you can find graves from wherever. People take pictures of them and upload them to findagrave.com. So if you are doing research,
it's super helpful. Yeah.
So back to the Death Cafe, though.
Yeah.
So what is the
the premise of why did you do it?
Well, and what I mean, what is it? Is the discussion about planning for your death? Is it about post death, or is it kind of whatever you want it to be?
What it is a communal space, so we can sit there and talk about anything. So I'm going to come with a handful of topics because I like to talk about death, but whatever. The people sitting at the table who are eating cake and drinking tea, bringing a bunch of teapots, and whatever we want to talk about. Because if we have open conversations, then we're going to get rid of the fear and the anxiety. There's literally something called death anxiety, obviously.
Well, all going to go through it, and it is frightening.
Well, there are a couple of different kind of death anxieties to be concerned about. From my side, as a lawyer, my concern is, nobody is worried about death, or everybody's worried about death, but don't want to think about it.
Ding.
So they don't plan for it.
Right.
So all of a sudden now you're dead and you're like, whatever, I'm dead. It doesn't matter. And now your kids, if you have them, I don't, but if you did, they're fighting over who gets what because you didn't plan for your death.
Or been what there. To do with you. I mean, my dad, or,
right.
my dad
do
took
I cremate them?
It.
Do I, yeah. do I, yeah. do they want to be buried? I find cemeteries to be a stupid waste of space, but other people don't. Like, yeah. that's my personal view, right? Like, so how do you deal with that? And then as a business owner, it's like, oh, my God, if I got hit by a truck, nobody would know what's going on.
Nobody would know what's going on. And then your employees would lose their job. So we right. actually have insurance, life insurance Keyman. On me for the job, for the yeah. for the
Because you're
business.
Thinking ahead.
Yes, but
you're telescoped
14
out.
Employees.
Right. Thank you. You're doing, that would you're doing need, them a service.
Right.
They can't just all of a sudden, oh, Lee's dead.
Oh,
we
Lee's
gotta
dead.
Go.
Gotta, yeah, yeah,
and the other job. Thing is we all assume that we're going to grow old, right?
Whatever. And so I used to want to be 100, and now I'm like, that's so
I'm like,
far away.
Well, I'm like, Death, you're my well, and exactly, I'm like, Death, you're kind of my friend. Like, I'm not suicidal. Not saying that, but I'm like, you know, if I die, it's okay. I've lived a good life.
Bam.
You know,
I've
it's not
come
a
to that conclusion too.
It's not a like terror. Like in as a little kid, you'd think you're invincible, right? And yeah. then in your 20s and 30s, you're like, oh my God, I want to live forever.
I did not think I was invincible because when I was 19, I had cancer, and then I.
Well, you guys both had near death experiences,
but that wouldn't. Yeah. That was not near death, but it was. Well, like, it was a, I had to think about it.
It's a mortality facing.
Yeah,
issue.
It's a mortality thing, but I thought there's no way I'm living past 21. I party way too hard. I drive way too fast.
Oh, I had that one too. Yeah, yeah.
I drove motorcycles. I did okay, all kinds. So, I was like, I'm just gonna live. I'm not gonna get past 21. It's gonna be a blast. So I didn't plan for after.
I know.
She was thinking about leaving a good corpse.
I was gonna leave
totally.
I actually wrote a paper about that in college. Is live
fast, live. Die young, leave a good corpse.
That's it.
I know many people who are like that, but most of them are men. But, like yeah. I know people
sure.
who are like they're going to turn 50 and they're like, I didn't think I was going to get past 25.
Yeah, I probably should have.
And like I destroyed my body because I didn't think I was going to live past 25, and now my hips don't work and my foot's broken.
I think my last five lives were all with a penis. I must have been a guy because that's yeah. A lot of people are like, you
so you're now you're with a vagina as well.
I kind of like having the vagina, but
I do too.
Yeah,
but I think it's important that we the legal aspect that you're talking about, since we don't talk about it. Death.
Right.
We will not get our papers in order.
Well, and you're 40, so you think you have a lot of time, and then you're hit by a truck.
Why aren't you doing this? As soon as you're – start talking about this when we're younger, that it's not – it's something that I'll put that off. I'll put that right. off. It's like something – I came up I read about this. It's called the talk and tuck. We just talk about it. Organize your paperwork. Get your wills in order. Get the things to help.
Sorry, like, I can't get Greg Queens talking, out of my head
oh,
now.
Sorry. But it's the idea of just talking about it and then putting it away, right? You've gotten it done. Then you can go and live life. Those of us who understand this, like, we're able to live life fully because we understand death and we're comfortable with it. Those who don't, sometimes it restricts them from even living because they're so afraid
right.
of dying. And you're like, well, fudge that.
Why can't you? You can
I don't
swear.
Know, can I? Fuck that. Then, yeah.
She so, said we didn't swear in case Channel 7 can't.
Well, the Channel 7's out there.
All right, so. Good.
But when they open the door, like, don't swear.
I just designed my mom's headstone. We're planning her funeral. She's not dead. She's not sick.
Yeah.
And we're paying for all.
Pay it up front.
She's paying all of it up front. That way, like, it's done. Like, all right, pack her away. Get going. Yeah. You know, where's the party?
Well, and one of the big issues, too, and this isn't really death, but the problem is that when you don't think about that, you also don't think about things like if you're in a car accident and your job is involved using your brain.
Yeah.
And or it's not even involving using your brain. But like if it is in a disability situation, like I have disability insurance because if I'm disabled. And I can't use my brain.
Yep.
I don't have any income besides, you know, the minimal Social Security disability if I don't pay for disability insurance. But also, if you're in a car accident and you're in a coma, who's supposed to make decisions for you? Have you decided whether you want a plug pulled? Do you want to be kept alive in the event that, you know, maybe something happens and you're brought out of the coma? Like, if you don't talk about any of it, then you're not talking about that either. And then your kid or your spouse or your parent is stuck trying to figure out in this emotionally fraught situation what you would have wanted.
Your speculation.
So, and then what you're also doing is we live in a medical society that wants to keep everybody alive as long as possible, no matter what it is. Okay, I'm sorry. That's just the generation of money that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's not cool. So I've been a death advocate for somebody. It was my aunt. And the doctor came to us. She'd had a stroke. And he's like, we can, you know, continue to do this. We can do this and we can do this. And I was like, or we can take her home and let her die.
Right.
And the doctor just looked at me and I saw him kind of adjust himself. I'll never forget. I'm looking up at him. He's super tall. And he's like, young lady, you're doing a very good thing. And I'm just like, I'm going to go talk to the family. So we had a family meeting. They gave me a private room in the hospital. And I was like, all right, everybody. I told my auntie, I'm like, we're going to go have a talk. And she's like, okay, I trust you. This is why, you know, I'm the medical advocate. And I was like, all right, let's go have this talk. And I threw the three things on the table that the doctor said, and the family's all chewing it. And I'm like, and we have a fourth option. We can take her home and let her die in her own house with dignity, and we can call in hospice. We eat everything
hospice
else.
Is wonderful. Hospice is awesome.
Oh my God, they're angels. Yeah. And so we discussed everything. We argued everything. We cried. And then we came to the conclusion that we were going to take her home. I walked back in the room. Everybody was there, and she looked at me, and I says, we're going home. And she just started to cry, but she knew that it was the right thing.
Yeah.
She knew we're the ones who are greedy. So if we don't talk about death, then the medical industry is just going to continue to make it an industry, and we can't change policy if we don't have the words to tell them no. Like,
right.
we need to become agents of our loved ones and of ourselves.
Right. And if all you're doing is extending something that is going to happen, and someone doesn't have agency over themselves, or they're going to basically lose it, they're not really there, you're just keeping a shell.
Quality versus quantity? No, I don't
want to. You're keeping
a shell
of someone who used to be there that isn't really the same person, but they're still in the familiar shell.
So, I mean, you guys have heard of the Hemlock Society. Have you heard of the Hemlock Society?
No. No, okay, I have not. Well, I think I have vaguely, but I mean, I assume that it involves what's his name?
Assisted suicide.
But yes,
Socrates. It's not Kevorkian or Socrates. Exactly. Socrates, yeah. Well, yeah. But
like
then,
Kevorkian?
Does he drink?
Well,
no.
But, and they were very popular again in the early 90s. When my dad got cancer in the early 90s, like, we were watching TV, and I remember, like, I don't even know what channel it was, probably 7. Kevorkian comes on, and I'm not looking at my dad because, like, I know he's dying of cancer sitting next to me. And he's like, huh. There's an idea. And I'm like, I'll do whatever it takes, Dad, whatever you want. And so we literally talked about ways that I could not get in trouble and to end his life. He ended up choosing chemo and doing all that. But Kevorkian, he had a service. The Hemlock has a service.
I actually I got to find the podcast, but I just listened to a podcast where they come in and they, you know, they're like, we can't do these things because it would cause a problem. But
correct.
We sit with people, let them basically die with dignity on their own.
Yep.
And then we leave before anybody comes.
It's an end of life service.
But it's not. I mean, they're not killing anyone.
No,
of course not. They're sitting there with somebody who has chosen to end their life.
And it's kind of like a death doula.
Exactly.
And that's actually something that
I would love
to do as well. You're holding space for someone. And I think that these are really important services. You know?
Well, and my grandfather died when I was like 6, and he had he had cancer that started in his throat, but he, in World War II, he had lost a lot of bone structure in his face, and so moved very quickly.
Of course.
Yeah. And apparently he would call my dad and beg for him to bring his gun over so that he could shoot himself and things like that. And it was horrible. I mean, it was a year of him slowly dying in awful pain. And so when my dad... my dad didn't think he was going to live past his 20s or 30s. So when he lived to his 60s, well, he was like, how did I live this long? But he had always said, if there's anything that's going to happen like that, I want to die. Like, don't keep me around. I will commit suicide before that happens. And he never did. He ended up going in for gallbladder surgery. And he was on warfarin. I'm guessing that had something to do with it. But he ended up dying that evening at the hospital, and it was a relief, really.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I did not want my dad to die, but it was a relief that it happened quickly.
Right.
You know, it was he had a stroke and then we had to, you know, deal with him after the fact because he would not have wanted
because that would have been
yeah.
against his personal wishes.
Right.
And that's why if we don't have he's having these conversations with you telling you this isn't what I want.
Right.
And so we have to document these things. You know, I'm a notary for a reason as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've given tons of eulogies for the family, which are I put the fun back in funeral, let me tell you guys. but these are just really important things. Oh, that was
a funeral.
It's a funeral.
Well, I'm from an Irish Catholic family, so we always have
You're always having a huge wake. Yeah.
Huge wake. Not a lot of people show up to the part where there's a casket.
Yeah.
And
right?
I remember my aunt.
We didn't have that for that.
I remember that my great aunt, Aunt Red, was her nickname. Aunt Red died. And I remember very vividly, this is like in my early 20s, we're at the one of the two funeral homes in my hometown. And I'm like standing in the back of the room and everybody is like standing back there talking about going fishing and stuff. And my aunt is like in the front, you know, in an open casket. There's a dead body in the room. But they're just like, oh, how was the fishing trip, Bob? Whatever. But then after that, everybody goes to the bar, yeah, to the
town hall, whatever. Celebrating aspect
and
to it, absolutely.
Laughter and telling stories, yeah, about that person, the fun stories, yep, the things that you want to remember.
So,
about
is this
them.
Kind of what it's going to be it's like be at Armageddon Beach Party?
Yes. It's going to be anything that we want to talk about. Like, we can be talking about the rituals of death. We could be talking about, you know, green funerals. We could talk about curating your own.
Right.
Like, I'm
green
put-
funerals. We talked about
we
this.
We talked about green funerals because I've always said, if I could feed a tree, that'd be great.
Absolutely.
But do we want to be cremated? When my pop, yeah, came in and said, I just went and arranged for my own cremation, I was like, hallelujah.
Did it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and this is one of the things that we were talking about when we started talking about this was the fact that this is my issue with cemeteries. You take a lot of space.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you put formaldehyde in people's bodies. Ah. You lock them up in a waterproof casket.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to, like, preserve this thing, this shell that doesn't really, and nothing exists in it except for
it's a
physical
vessel.
Form.
Yeah. Right.
And we're doing everything we can,
yep,
to not let it decay. And so now there's a movement for natural funerals,
yep,
where it's a pine box.
Right.
Like, there's no formaldehyde. There's no preserving the body. It's wrapped in a pine box, wrapped in linen and put in a pine box so that people actually, you know, ashes,
yeah,
to ashes.
They also have mushroom pods now, too.
What?
Because mushroom pods decompose so,
right,
quickly.
Cool.
Yeah. Like, the things that are out there are amazing. Or you could be put compressed into diamonds or be put into fireworks. You could be made into a vinyl record.
And how do we find out the information about this? Because we can talk about it.
Did you just say vinyl record? Because I think
absolutely,
that maybe what Lee wants to be.
Yeah. I would love to be a vinyl record.
The picture was a pink vinyl record. It has your photograph on it. And you can actually do recordings pre-death and talk about your life.
And you can make your record. Oh, so you get to have your story core.
You can have your story. Yes, you can have your story core. You could have your playlist. You could have anything on there. And then you give that to your loved ones. You could do the pre-recordings.
So it's a memory of you. And part of your ashes are in it.
Yeah, it's so gross and awesome all at the same time.
It's
so much better than taking
up.
See, you come and listen to a podcast about bras and we talk about death. What the heck?
And then, well, I mean, if you want to be buried, you could be buried in something like that. But...
Oh, I do want to talk about that because I've had several clients who have passed because we've been open 5 years. So one of the things that happens is the loved ones call us.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you've got my auntie, my mother, my whatever's information on file. And yes, we do. She has passed. So we've talked to people at funeral homes to say, we know the body has changed. What can we do to change what's going to happen? And so they gave us some guidelines so we can actually help you get the undergarments that are going to helpfully work for your loved one.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So we have taken care of that before. Especially, I mean, if you've got a lady who is – she's very proud of how she dresses – this is an important part of her life. For whatever reason, we'll help you with that. Especially then, that's why we keep all the information on file.
Especially
if you're
going to do so. My dad was cremated, but one of the things that we did is we still had the open casket, and you know he was there to say goodbye to because the people in my family believe you got to actually physically say goodbye and see the person so that you are not.
It's a death ritual in the U.S. for sure.
They're not. Oh no, they didn't really die, and I felt like that about my grandfather because apparently I had been to his funeral, but I blocked it out. I remember my grandmother. I remember walking up to her casket. I remember exactly what she was wearing. It was a hideous lime green suit.
Who chose that?
Polyester. I remember staring at her. I remember my aunt telling me in the bathroom, it's okay. Big girls cry. You can cry. My grandmother died 2 months before my grandfather.
And you don't remember the grandfather?
I remember absolutely nothing about my grandfather's funeral. So I believed that my parents didn't allow me to go. And my mom was like, we couldn't get you to leave. Like, I was the first grandchild and he would take me every Sunday, you know. Like, so I had just blocked it out. But so I was like, maybe he didn't really die. Maybe he just left. Maybe, you know.
Wow.
Little kid stories.
Yeah,
tell yourself.
For sure.
But so we did do a showing. So even if you're going to do a cremation later, you may want to have the
It's becoming
body
more and more
exposed,
popular for sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be fascinating. And of course, it brings up all kinds of stories for that. In the 80s, I drove an orange Karmann Ghia. And, yep.
I'm
not sure where this is
going.
I'm getting there.
All right. I'm following it because I love Karmann Ghias and I love orange. Yeah.
But at this point, my dad taught me how to drive when I was 12 because he was always out of town. He was like, oh my God, if anything happens, you need to be able to get in the driver's seat and drive. Whatever.
Great dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when my grandmother was dying, I stole the car and I went out for a party ride and drove all over Mobile, Alabama and got my friends.
The car.
I thought you were going to say that you went to see grandmother when she was dying.
Right.
Like,
this is getting to the death part, right?
Right.
Okay.
So, and I hit a curb and messed up the car and all that stuff. Well, she died that weekend. And when Dad came home and drove the car the next day, he's like, son of a... Yeah. So I was in trouble at my grandmother's funeral.
Ooh,
and that's one of the biggest things I remember.
In trouble.
I got in big trouble, and to a point where my uncle took my dad to the side and said, dude, give the chick a break. Are you kidding? She went out and partied hard. She lived a little bit of life. She wrecked your car. Sorry. That's her car for the rest of her time with you then, right? Yeah. So I got a 74 Karmann Ghia that I drove
for
a
while. So my grandmother's funeral was the first eulogy I gave. The woman could smoke a cigarette where the ash would never go away. So I lit up a cigarette in the funeral home.
That takes good tobacco.
Oh, dude, she woman never moved. She was evil. Anyway, so I lit the cigarette and the whole family just like, what? I don't know how to smoke. I dropped a cigarette in the funeral home and I'm chasing the cigarette.
Oh, God.
Come back to the eulogy. I mean, it was just, it was a riot. Like I said,
put the phone back in funeral. Dustbuster for this and the ashes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is hysterical. So you're going to be doing this tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at Armageddon Beach Party. At 1517 Putnam in Detroit, Michigan. It'll be at 7 p.m. until 10. We are going to have tea and cake.
So
death and desserts.
So do you? You're going to buy the desserts and the stuff there at Armageddon.
I'm going to be gifting that.
You're going to be
gifting tea and
I have some cookies for you in the car. Then
yay!
So I'm sorry. Again, this is next.
No, this
is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
That is.
Oh, the 11th is your panache thing.
Tomorrow, yeah. Thursday, tomorrow. October 4th, 2018.
Yes.
At what time?
7 p.m. till 10 p.m.
7 p.m.
Just a casual conversation about
death and desserts.
Getting us more comfortable talking about death. And hopefully this will become a series of conversations that we have.
I like it. So to our tens of listeners, I have a quick question for you. Is there something that you're interested in hearing our perspective on? Because, you know, we're of women of a certain age, or at least I am.
Crone zone.
Well, we're all of a certain age. Certain age is just older than mine.
Yeah, my certain age is just older than everybody in the dadgum room. So if there's something that you want to hear about, let us know. I know we have some people who listen to us every week, which is great, and we are back on every week. Next week, we're going to talk about – can I say that right now?
Maybe not.
No.
Okay.
The name of this podcast is B3. So, Doxy, you're going to come back next week.
Oh, I'm coming back next week. And that's a topic I want to talk about.
I would like to talk about your near-death experience. Do we have time to do that today?
Well, we started a little bit tardy, so I mean,
got a few minutes.
Ellen's like, just do it. I had a
ghost encounter, and I'm skeptical, but I truly believe that I did have one encounter that is weird.
This is a conversation.
So I want to throw this at you.
So
really
for
fast.
October, I would like to discuss this
ghost?
Maybe next week.
But you're that could be the topic after the next topic.
My pop had lung cancer, and when he was passing, like the day that he went to hospice. Everybody had left the house, and I was there on my own. We didn't know he was going to hospice yet. All of a sudden, I realize I'm there by myself, but it feels like I'm in a room with 100 people.
Ooh.
I mean, it felt like they were coming together on me and comforting me, but it was really kind of beautiful and strange all at the same time. And so when the family came back, I said, I think this is it. I think that his family just came. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, no, I wasn't by myself.
You felt that.
I wasn't by myself. And he went to hospice that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later, he passed. Now, you can stay in hospice for 5 days, I think, is what they told us. And then you have to – in the building.
They sent him to the center.
They're like, you can stay here for 4 or 5 days. I can't remember what it was. And they told my mother, and after that, it's going to be like $8,000 a month.
It's ridiculously expensive, yeah.
Right. And so she said, if that's what I need to do, because my dad was strong. He was a professional baseball player. He was always just strong as heck. He could get out of – oh, he's gone. He's strong as hell. I know. And he could get out of any restraint, right? He pulled up a toilet when he was in hospice. But they said he can – she said, I'll pay it. Whatever it takes, I'll pay it. Now, my father was incredibly frugal. He died on the last day.
He was just like, I am not wasting this money.
That money is not going towards that. We are out of here.
That's so funny.
But he shut down the power grid in hospice for like a blip. And the lady walked in and said, was that him passing? And my parents, my mom and my nephews were like, yep.
You tell me that energy isn't real. You tell me that those spirits weren't there. Baloney. Mm-mm. I believe in that firmly. Mm-hmm. I do believe that you had a visitation. I've had them as well.
Well, my visitation was a little different. It was not. It was
Halloween.
Wait, are we going to do it on a Halloween podcast?
Yeah, yeah, we should definitely be doing a Halloween podcast.
My experience happened at the up in Holly. And I don't know if you've heard.
Is that where that hotel is?
The Holly Hotel.
Okay, we'll talk about the Holly Hotel.
Yeah. And a bed and breakfast in Holly
Halloween
as well.
Halloween is on a Wednesday.
Oh my gosh! Ghostbusters!
Okay, so that's what we're going to do on Halloween. Then right. Oh my gosh, talk about
so great.
All right, near-death experience from Doxy.
Okay, I was like 5 years old. And I had friends, Steven and Romy. We were the best friends. And they lived across the street, blah, blah. And each of our parents took us into the pool. So the parents were standing on the outside having whatever parent conversations that the ladies were talking about. We're in the pool. I don't necessarily remember getting into the pool, but I remember all of a sudden slipping through my inner tube. And I'm floating. And the size of the pool is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the sky is just gorgeous. I can see my inner tube.
I see this cinematically. Yep.
Cinematically, like absolutely. The sky is beautifully blue. I can see their little feet. And I'm just at so much peace. And then it goes black. And then the next thing you know, I'm choking because my mother pulled me out of the water. My mom, like, one of the parents was like, look, she's trying to swim. No, she wasn't. And I've had multiple water experiences. So, yeah.
So, well,
and it was just one of the most beautiful. It is literally the most beautiful memory I have in my whole life and the most peaceful space I've ever been in. And so that was like at 5 or 6 years old.
That's interesting because this is the thing with drowning, too, is people think that you flail and stuff because that's what happens
in
movies.
You do not.
But the most terrifying thing when drowning is when you see a kid and then you don't see it.
Yeah.
Because there isn't a lot of flailing and stuff.
Yeah. You don't, there's not a lot of panic. So actually there's huge things that lifeguards have to go through and learning about, like the signs of,
right.
You know, because it's not what you think. So yeah, I've had a few interesting life death experiences. I have a lot of guardian angels. So let me just say that, and I know I do.
I fully believe in guardian angels.
I got a legion. I don't know, just one or two.
I feel like
I went and saw a psychic. Oh my god, we could talk about that again. Like the week before. We could talk about that the week before Halloween.
I'm calling my girlfriend who went with me when we were kids. Yeah, actually, her mom took us. But
my psychic was interesting experience. So
when I was about to give birth to Lively, he was supposed to be a planned C-section, and then things went horrifically wrong. Mm. And I was in Germany, so all of a sudden everyone was speaking German. And I was like, "What is going on?" So just know that it was bad. All of a sudden, it became an emergency C-section. The wall behind me disappeared, and they wheeled me into an operating room. And then there were people everywhere. I had so many surgeons on his birth certificate and midwives.
Wow.
When you're having a baby in Germany at that point in 2007, you were like a superstar because there just weren't that many people being born at that point.
Wow.
So their birth rate was really, really low. So I was and we were in a hospital in the little town that we were in. And so anyway, all of a sudden the doctor realized I was kind of panicking because they had kicked my husband out of the room and I didn't really – they're swiping my body down with fluids and things. And he'd grab my face and in his wonderful German accent, and his name was Professor Dr. Funk. He said, this is going to be fine. This is going to be good for the baby. And I just looked at him and I said, all I care about is that you save that baby. Don't worry about me. I'm good. And he's like, you're going to be here. I'm like, just take care of the baby. And they woke me. You know, next thing I know, there was some funky stuff that happened while I was out because I wasn't really totally – I mean, I was down, but I – anyway, Jeff Colby. And only a few people would know who I'm talking about.
Jeff.
Yeah. And when they woke me up, I had a baby. They're showing him to me, and I was like, I'm breathing air. Everything is good. And the first thing I say is, because my husband has ears like this, first thing I say is, oh, thank God he has my ears down. How's out?
So did Jeff visit you?
Yeah, he visited me a few times.
Aw.
Yeah, he visited me a few times.
He was a friend of ours who passed away.
Oh, I know. I already can tell, basically, because you did that whole thing that we do as humans. We're like, oh, you know, something happened. Like we discard the things that happen because we live in a society that doesn't believe this. And I say bullshit to that because there are so many things out there. We're all energy. There's a veil that is thin, and it gets thinner for those of us who are open and talk about it.
And I think there's this whole thing, and we'll talk about this later because it is about time to wrap
psychic
up. But
wrap it.
But the guardian angel thing, I think people think like angel with wings comes down. No. And in my view, it's like every time I've had been in crisis, like mentally, I'm like, I'm just going to have a breakdown because I one time was a quarter. I didn't have a quarter for a payphone and my car had broken down. And this is when payphones were a thing. In all of the hall, like this hall is completely empty at the university I was at. This young African-American guy comes up to me, sees me crying, and I'm like, I just don't have a quarter for the payment, whatever. And he hands me a quarter and he walks away.
Yep.
To me, that
is a guardian angel.
Is a guardian. Like, he showed up at just the right time.
Yeah, no one else
Nobody else was around. Yep. And he gave me the little bit of help that I needed. And it's like there's always that.
Absolutely.
Like, I've always had that. Like, there's something that happens when I'm about to lose my shit.
because there's energies with you. Yep, I believe that.
We love you, Doxy.
So we'll talk more about that and ghosties and such on the Halloween episode.
No, yeah. We should do that on the 24th. We should do psychics on the 24th and ghosts on the 31st.
On the 31st.
Okay.
So,
all right. It's your show. You do. You guys.
It's not really.
I'll just show up.
I just sponsors it.
It's Halloween.
So next week we're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, we are.
That was good.
And her craziness.
And winter.
And winter is coming. Or not.
Winterizing your machines.
But I did want to mention, because last week I mentioned the Freedom House gala, their event, and I couldn't – I said I had the thing, but I didn't have the date or anything because, you know, we're a hot mess. On October 19th, Freedom House, who is the organization that welcomes refugees, is celebrating 35 years. And on Friday, October 19th at Motor City Casino, right over there, they are having an annual gala, which is called
Voices of Freedom.
Voices of Freedom.
Oh, okay, gosh. Can you put that on our Facebook page?
I cannot, but I can send you the thing to put it on the
Facebook
page.
I can do that as well.
35 years of doing that?
Yeah, that's they started amazing. Everything started like during Central America when the Sandinistas took over and everything. That's when most of these refugee homes started, which I did not know about until I think I listened to a podcast, because that's what I do. But it was fascinating. And then, so they've just been around providing refugee, you know, that guardian angel. They're guardian angels. And two of the refugees who recently stayed there have just opened, I am not going to say it right, Boabab Fair.
And guess what contest they were in that I'm connected to?
Hatch.
They won Hatch.
And they just opened in New Center, right? Up at Grand Boulevard and Woodward, I believe.
Going to say yes.
Yes. Yay. I believe that is where they have opened now.
Yeah. Hatch Detroit has been fantastic. If you're interested in opening a business in Detroit, just look at them, look at what they offer, see if you can get into the contest. They've had 33 businesses open of their alumni.
Ba-bam!
Yeah.
Some of them are winners and some of them are
most of them aren't.
Not. Yeah, there's only one winner. Right? Yeah,
we're not. But
so one winner, but they see the potential in the project.
10.
Exactly.
Well, it gives you vision. It gives you
recognition. Yeah.
So the last thing I want to close with, and then we're going to hit the vomit spots one more time, is my husband wanted me to ask you guys if this was even possible. So chew on it. Let me know later. He would like, when he passes, he says, I would like to be turned into chum and fed to the sharks. Can that actually?
Legally,
and I'm like,
legally,
I don't
no.
think so, dude.
Legally, no.
I think that's not a thing.
Well, I mean, like, he could always check.
Well, that's the thing about sailors and having their bodies gone out, and things have rules have changed.
I think it's because we are of the we are sailors. I think that's where it's coming
okay,
from.
Okay, well,
for
then, him. Then you no, but that may be okay then, because you're a military, like, you know.
I know a Coast Guard officer who had gotten. Somebody had been cremated and gotten permission to be thrown off the boat, but the problem was that the wind shifted.
All right, so Bobby's Paws, let's go.
On that note, stay bitchy.
Stay bitchy.